Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday somewhere, and we hope to see you listening to the Giant Bombcast. We're independent games media, and you can find us hooligans every Tuesday discussing the newest video game releases or whatever we're currently into.
We also discuss all the biggest stories in the world of games. Collectively, we have decades of experience covering the biggest companies and sneaky little indie darlings, but we also have years of experience being a cool hang. The Giant Bombcast is like listening to your friends goof and gab about the games and stories that matter to them and you.
Giant Bombcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Killers don't just take lives. They reshape everything they left behind. A quiet back road, a busy stretch of highway. A house that once felt safe, now a shrine to everything that went wrong. Across Texas, deserts, fields, and bayous keep their secrets buried, but not forever. From the creators of Gone Cold comes Of Hell, Texas True Crime, a podcast about the state's most depraved killers and the scars they left on every town, every family, every mile marker they touched. Stories that ask one burning question, were there more victims? Some folks aren't just from hell, they're of it. Of Hell, Texas True Crime. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are back a little earlier than usual because Raw was overseas. I believe this is the end of the European tour. So after this week, we are back to normal, but Raw was in jolly old England. They were in London at the O2, the final Raw before Night of Champions, which I guess technically means the international tour is not over because they will be in Riyadh on Saturday. So what am I talking about? Oh my goodness, we got a 1 o'clock start for Night of Champions on Saturday. But tonight, or today, it feels weird to say tonight. I guess for some of you watching, it would be tonight. This was the go-home episode of Raw before the show. A pretty boring show for the most part. It was a newsworthy show, really for three things mainly. It was newsworthy. There were things that happened here on this show. But I just couldn't shake this feeling of boredom for most of it. And typically when they're overseas, especially in the UK, they're very lively, right? You guys are a very lively, energetic bunch. More than we are here in the States, typically. And for the most part, that wasn't really the case for large chunks of the show, which tells you that there were a lot of people in the audience who were very disinterested in what they were watching. But we had another Vision main event, so I won't fault you if that didn't get your gears going. Another Vision main event here on this show. But it paid off with brand new tag team champions being crowned. They put their tag team titles on the line against the Street Profits. This was after cameos from Joe Hendry. Yes, he lives. He's alive. Joe Hendry was back briefly, literally on the show for maybe 20 seconds. And then Seth Rollins came out, and he also made an appearance, and he provided the assist, and in the end, we had new tag team champions four times over. For the Street Profits, five if you want to count their run from NXT. Credit to Angelo Dawkins, I will say. That man has clearly put the work in. Just he is in the best shape that I have seen him in. He's probably in the best shape that he's been in since he came to the Performance Center. And he came to the PC a long time ago, probably over a decade ago. But he put the work in, and he's looking pretty good these days. So we got new tag team champions crowned. We had the return of Joe Hendry. And we got Lyra Valkyria turning heel on Bayley, which is not something that I was expecting. I don't know that Lyra Valkyria has ever been heel in her career. So this is going to be something different. And I don't know if she can pull it off. I don't know that I trust WWE, frankly, to allow her to pull it off. Because we've seen heel turns that have flopped in this company before. I could think of a major one last year that also flopped. But it is something different. You know, Lyra has just sort of been spinning her wheels, doing not much of anything for a while now. So I don't hate it. I'm not against it. I just question whether or not she can be successful because she's a great babyface. You know, but there are great babyfaces that go on to become great heels. Maybe she'll be one of those people. One person who we did not get on the show tonight was Brock Lesnar. I thought maybe there was a chance. There was still a chance that Brock could show up. He could take Obafemi out of the King of the Ring. I knew going in that it was unlikely. But there was no Brock Lesnar appearance. We did, however, get one final stare down, showdown, face-to-face between the finalists in the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring. So we had Obafemi, we had Jey Uso, and then we had Liv Morgan, who thankfully is okay. We had a little scare the other day with Liv, but she's fine. Liv Morgan and Io Sky. They're going to be in the finals of the Queen of the Ring. They were on the show as well. Chad Gable was on the show. He was there to apologize to the Alpha Academy. Maxxine Dupri, though, was not willing to accept his apology. We'll talk about what happened there. We even got a cameo here from Solo Sikoa. Hey, Lions Today, what's going on? Shout out to Lions Today and everybody else who's able to join here because the stream is at 5 o'clock in the evening. So there are people in other countries who normally can't join live who hopefully will be able to drop by. Even Solo Sikoa dropped by here on the show tonight. He made a cameo. Couldn't help this show, though. Again, I thought for the most part it was pretty flat, but we're going to go through everything that happened here. This is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday, June 22nd, 2026. I am the Solemn Monster. Hit that like button and subscribe button. Super chats are open. If you want to drop one, I will be reading them here in a little bit. We are going to spin the wheel, and I don't know how this is going to go because we're at a weird time. We're not going to have as many people as usual. We can hope for a low number. Maybe if we land low enough, we could hit the goal. What do you think? Let's find out. Ooh, that's definitely not a low number. That is definitely not a low number. Hey, Frank, Puerto Rico is listening, he says. Shout out to Puerto Rico. We had a hell of a parade here in the city about a week ago. Well, 700 likes is going to be impossible unless we get more people in here. But don't give up hope. You never know. That's the goal here if we want to do Be the Booker later. 700. All right, let's go ahead and start from the very top here. We'll work our way through this show. And then once we're done here, I got some final prep work to do for the Uncrowned Wrestling Show, which is going to be dropping tomorrow. If you missed the sound off, episode 968, number 2, wrestling podcast episodes everywhere in the country on Apple Podcasts in the wrestling category. And there are a lot of wrestling shows. Number 2 is the sound off from yesterday. So thank you for that. But go back and check that out when we're done here. If you have not yet listened to yesterday's episode, it's pretty good. Covered a lot of ground there. Obafemi covers a lot of ground as well. When he takes a step, when he's walking down the aisle, when he's walking down the street, he definitely takes up a lot of space. He's a big guy, and he strutted down to the ring. He was not in his wrestling attire. He looked like he was ready to hit the club. He got in the ring. Fans were just going nuts for him. They were chanting his name for a very long time, and to the point where he told them, okay, settle down. Settle down. Oba said that he's been backed by Destiny since he was born. She's been very good to him. He credited Destiny for all of his accomplishments. He said it would play into this weekend when he becomes the King of the Ring. He said if he wins, he gets to challenge the champion of his choosing, which is the first time I believe that they have actually come right out and said that in those words. We could pretty much surmise that from the fact that Roman Reigns was telling Jey Uso to go after the other championship. Liv Morgan's been talking about how she wants it all. She's going to win the other title from Rhea Ripley. But I think this may have been the first time we've heard one of the wrestlers actually go out there and say that we get to pick the champion of our choosing. So he questioned whether he should go after the WWE championship. And the reaction from the crowd was very tepid. It was very like, eh. Or should he go after the World Heavyweight Championship? And everybody cheered because that's the title they want. That's the man they want him to go after. They want to see Obafemi against Roman Reigns. So Jey Uso's entrance music interrupted and he made his way yeeting through the crowd all the way down to the ring. Crowd wanted him to run it back. Oba said, if you're thinking about running it back, I'm going to put an end to that right now. And see, that was a mistake. I would not have had him say that unless he went off and said that on his own. Because literally 2 seconds later, Jey Uso ran it back anyway. And Oba just stood there and he looked like a goof. If you can stand there and say that you're not going to run it back, I'm going to make sure of that. And then 2 seconds later, you know, the guy is on the ropes and he's yeeting again. And you don't go over and destroy him. It makes you look like a friggin' loser. Like, you know, you can't back up your words. So I wouldn't have said that. But anyway, so Jey said, you must have forgotten. I'm him. He added that he was counted out. The people counted him out when he won the Royal Rumble. They counted him out when he won the World Heavyweight Championship. They counted him out when he entered the King of the Ring. They're counting out the possibility that he could win King of the Ring. Right? At every step of the way, people have counted him out. So Jey said that he would climb this mountain on Saturday. He guaranteed that he would become world champion. He declared this was Oba's warning shot. And Oba wondered if that meant that Jey would be shooting for real that night. the prospect of Jey Uso shooting on Oba Femi is just this hilarious visual to me. It is not something that I would recommend. I will say that if Oba Femi and Jey Uso are in the ring together, and Jey Uso begins shooting on Oba Femi, it's going to be a bad night for Jey Uso. So that's something I would avoid. But Oba said, look, he warned him not to miss. Don't miss. If you're going to take your shot, don't miss, or I'm going to destroy you. And even if you don't miss, I'm going to destroy you anyway. He said Jey isn't the family member he's really worried about. And Oba told him, take your stupid bullets and give them to your cousin. And the fans liked that. So it was pretty well established here in this segment what the fans want to see here, the match that they want to see. I guess the only question is, do we actually get it at SummerSlam, or is this something they're going to hold off on for Saudi Mania next year? Because that really is the big match, right? Roman Reigns, Oba Femi. In terms of putting him in the ring with somebody new, obviously the bigger match would be Roman and The Rock. But Roman and Oba is one of the biggest matches they could do. I just don't know that they want to be giving it away this soon. Still a possibility he could win and he could go on to pick Roman at SummerSlam. Beyond that, though, very basic segment. One thing I did notice, when Jey comes through the crowd and he's yeeting and he's got to run it back and he's yeeting and he's all fired up, right? He's very intense on these promos. And he was so winded. He gassed himself out before he even started speaking. I was like, get this man an oxygen mask. That was very noticeable. Otherwise, this was a very basic segment.
The British royal family, crowns on the outside, chaos on the inside. On the podcast Palace Intrigue, we cover the stories behind the headlines every day with a dozen new episodes every week. Meghan and the controversy that never quits, William and Kate quietly waiting for their turn on the throne, and former Prince Andrew, well, always a story unto himself. It's smart, it's sharp, and a little snarky. It's Palace Intrigue. And when you're ready to go deeper into the royal verse, we have King William, a speculative fiction podcast. Think The Crown, but set in the future. And another series, Crown and Controversy, the stories that continue where TV's The Crown ended. Join us for daily royal news with context, clarity, and just a hint of mischief. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts.
We go backstage. Adam Pearce is on the phone. He runs into LA Knight, who accuses him of being on the phone with the Bloodline. Jimmy Uso walks up. He asks LA Knight what his problem is. He tried to help him last week, but LA hit him with a chair. So they start yelling, and, you know, Knight said he didn't like the fact that Jimmy, or Pearce, I think it was, suggested they have a match. Tonight it's going to be LA Knight against Jimmy Uso. And LA Knight, he didn't like that idea. He said, that's a terrible idea. I got a better idea. How about tonight it's LA Knight against Jey Uso, or Jimmy Uso. I don't even know which one it is. Jimmy Uso. And Jimmy said, that's what he just said. And LA says, well, I don't hear what he says. I don't pay attention to what he says. So we had an impromptu match made for later in the show. Then it was a homecoming for Paige. They were in London. They were in the UK. It was Paige and Brie Bella defending the women's tag team titles against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Now, before the match, Jackie Redmond interviewed Lyra and Bayley in the back. Lyra was all excited. She was all amped up. This match was her idea. This match is a match that she got herself, and she said they've had no luck all year. It was all supposed to happen tonight. And Bayley says that they've been the best tag team in this division for a long time. Lyra got the match for them. Tonight's the night. So once the bell rang, immediately Lyra hit Paige with an enziguri and a drop kick. Later on, Bayley dropped Brie with her belly to Bayley suplex. Paige, though, yanked Brie out of the ring to break up the pin. So the challengers, they got heat on Brie for a while during one of the breaks. Brie came back with a drop kick. Some tags were made. Paige came in. She went wild for a little bit. She went for the Paige Turner. Lyra countered into a Nightwing for a near fall. Bayley went for the Bayley to Bayley again on Brie, but she sent her out to the floor instead. And Valkyria hit a fisherman's buster on Paige. And it looked like she was trying for a second one. Paige, though, countered into the Rampage and spiked her down on her head, and she got the pin to retain the title. So Brie Bella and Paige are still your women's tag team champions. But the big story here wasn't the match. It was what happened after the match. So the match is over. Bayley goes over to check on Lyra. Now, you know something bad's going to happen here because they're still in the ring, and now they turn the music down. And Bayley goes over to check on Lyra. Lyra gets up. She helps her to her feet. Now, they wanted you to believe that Bayley was going to turn on her. They swerved you, though, because instead, Lyra shoved Bayley hard into the middle rope, and she just lost it. She mounted Bayley, and she's slapping her and hitting her over and over and over again. She throws her hard into the middle rope on the other side of the ring. And out comes some officials, and I don't remember if Adam Pearce was out there, but I know Daivari was out there, Ken Doan. So they came out to try to break things up. Lyra broke free, and she hit Nightwing on Bayley because she wasn't done yet, and the fans booed. And so the jury is out on whether or not this is going to work. I don't know that anybody was expecting Lyra by herself to go heel. I would imagine there were people out there who said, okay, I could see Bayley and Lyra. You know, they've lost so much. Maybe they go heel together. Lyra going heel on her own is not something I was anticipating, and I don't know what to expect because she's a very good babyface. I don't know if she has it in her to be a great heel, or at least the kind of heel they're going to book her as. I don't know if it's going to work. But the way I look at it is, Bayley has gone from babyface to babyface to heel multiple times. So if it would have been Bayley going heel, A, it would have been predictable, but B, it's something we've already seen before. You know, plus she had voices in her head. I don't know whatever happened to that. So this is something different, at least. It's a different dynamic. We'll have Bayley as a babyface and Lyra as a heel. I don't know if that means they're going to change her music at some point so the fans stop doing the woo when she comes out. But if they do, they'll probably downgrade it and give her some, you know, Def Rebel trash that's worse. I don't know. So anyway, that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a Lyra heel turn. Really, I mean, if you think about it, Lyra has been floundering for a while now. You know, obviously in storyline, they've lost and lost and lost. But really, since she got bounced out of the IC title picture, they've had nothing for her. She's been on the back burner. She hasn't really been a factor on these shows. Maybe the heel turn could help get her back into the mix. Sol Ruka, by the way, she is the Intercontinental Champion. They just had a match recently. She beat Lyra, another loss. Now that Lyra's gone heel, who knows? Maybe she comes back around to Sol and they feud over the IC title. We'll see. Speaking of the Intercontinental title, a title that this man should be competing for at SummerSlam, Angry Bird. Who called her an Angry Bird? That's actually, I like that. Lyra is now an Angry Bird. Now, where do you guys come up with this stuff? Chad Gable had requested time to speak on this show. Very important to get him on the show every week. Consistency, this is the key. So I like that they're keeping him on the show so far every week since he's come back. He came out to his new AI-generated rock theme song. He was clapping his hands like this. He was clapping his hands above his head. He was trying very hard to get the crowd into it, and they were like, eh, I don't think they're sold on this music. Neither am I. He said that he was here for something very close to his heart. He said it's been a hell of a month. Started when he lost his mask in Mexico, which technically was last month.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, sir. That was technically last month.
But it's been a hell of a month nonetheless. For Chad Gable, he lost his mask in Mexico. Gable said he realized that he had lost his dignity as well and his friends. He said Rey Mysterio taught him that it's never too late to apologize. So Gable said that he was going to call out a few people. And the people he wanted to call out were Alpha Academy. Otis, Tozawa, Maxxine Dupri, they make their way down to the ring. And they all look very, you know, suspicious of this man and what his intentions are. Because they were abused by him, physically and verbally. He treated them like shit. Why should they want to hear anything he has to say? Gable went down the line with all three of them singing their praises. He looked at Maxxine. He complimented her on winning a singles title, something that he still has not been able to do. He tried to hold down Tozawa, who he said has the heart of a lion. And then he saved Otis for last. And he said, you know, you and I, we trained together at the Olympic Training Center. And he talked about how loyal a friend Otis was. And Otis even held his kids in his arms when they were born. And then he said the magic word. He said, I'm sorry to all three of them. And so Otis was ready to shake his hand because Gable put his hand out for a handshake and Otis was about to accept. And Maxxine stepped in front of him. Not so fast. Maxxine took the mic. She said she knew that the fans and she knew that Otis and Tozawa were ready to forgive him, but not her. She said that they were going to leave Gable the way that he left them, alone. She shoved the mic into his chest, and she left the ring. Tozawa left the ring. Otis was the last one to leave. He was a little hesitant. He kind of looked back at Gable, but then he decided to go ahead and join the others. And that's how the segment came to an end. And there was a little more to Maxxine's promo. I thought that, first of all, I thought her delivery in the promo she cut was good. She's another one who, kind of like Lyra, has just been on the back burner for a little while. They haven't really had anything for her to do. We got the whole Maxxine Dupri singles push, and it just kind of flamed out. But that doesn't mean that she can't be, you know, useful in another role on the show. In terms of the promo, I thought she cut, you know, a fine promo here. Gable, I thought he did well. Otis didn't say anything. Tozawa didn't say anything. They just stood there and stared. But I mean, look, I thought as a segment it came off well. I could see the story they're trying to tell. I still feel the same way I felt last week. Please don't drag this out for too long, because I feel like the longer you associate Gable with this crew, because they've already established this crew is only at a certain level on this show. And you don't want Gable to be kind of stuck in that same spot with them, because he's so much better. And you hope that they can parlay this whole AAA thing into something really big for him. I don't know if that ever means a world title, but at least the IC title. So my only hope is that they don't drag this out for too long here. Maxxine, though, you know, she was acting very heelish, I guess you might say, but at the same time, everything she's saying, she wasn't wrong. You know, she was one of the people who was verbally abused by this man. Actually, he might have put her in an ankle lock once, now that I think about it. So that, I mean, he treated them like garbage, and you could understand her feeling the way she feels, but she's also been hanging around Austin Theory. So I still wonder if the end goal of all this is for her to end up with the Vision. I don't know if they're going to go that far or not. So that's just something to keep in mind here at the end of all this. You know, are we looking at Vision Alpha Academy? Is that going to become a thing at some point? It might. She may quit these guys, end up with the Vision, and then we get a little a match or a feud between them. And I don't know. Then Gable, what does Gable do? Does Gable align with the remaining members of Alpha Academy to feud with the Vision? I mean, is that the plan here? I don't know. What the plan should be is SummerSlam in Minneapolis. Nothing with Gable and the Vision. The plan should be Gable and Penta for the Intercontinental Championship. And there was a segment later in the show that gives me hope that they realize the same thing, and that's exactly what we're going to end up getting. But we'll get there a little bit later on. We had Dragon Lee. He went one-on-one with Ethan Page. There was a wild suicide dive here by Dragon Lee that knocked Page into the announce desk. It sent himself floating over the desk and into the barricade. He hit more of the desk, honestly, than he hit Ethan. Page, by the way, was sporting a black eye, or like a shiner under the eye. It didn't happen on that spot. It had to happen earlier. I just didn't see how. But he set up, Dragon did, for a Styles clash, and Page headbutted him low and then finished him off with the Egoplex for the win. A solid little match here. I mean, it was really nothing special. You know, it was a match. It wasn't terribly exciting, but it was fine. You know, it was fine. It's a win for Ethan Page. I like Ethan Page. I want to see big things for him on this show at some point. It's not happening right now. But feeding him wins to me is more important than feeding wins to Dragon Lee. They mentioned that WWE Unreal Season 3 is coming. Oh boy, Season 3, yes. It's coming on July 21st. And in this season, they will be covering the retirement, the end of John Cena's run. They mentioned also the return of a former WWE superstar. I assume that means Paige. They didn't mention who it was. So then Michael Cole and Corey Graves, they pitched it over to a video package covering all of the drama from the last few months between The Vision and the Street Profits, who would be in the main event later on here in the show. Jackie Redmond was backstage with The Vision. She was backstage with Austin Theory, Logan Paul, and Bron Breakker because the other members of The Vision are injured. I don't know that we will ever have The Vision back to full strength. I feel like one person will come back, another person will get hurt, then that person will leave, and the cycle continues. So they're missing Paul Heyman still, they're missing Bronson Reed. By the way, I gave Angelo Dawkins a lot of credit earlier for, you know, getting in the best shape of his career. I don't know if you've been following Bronson Reed on social media. Best shape I've ever seen him in, going back to his days, even pre-NXT. He's going to be a beast when he gets... He might be smaller, but he's still going to be a beast when he gets back. He may be faster. Theory said that everyone is after The Vision. Seth Rollins is going to be taken care of in a steel cage on Saturday. The Street Profits, they don't know sacrifice. Logan Paul says that he wants to take his brace off and beat them up with it. He's healed faster than any human being in history. He would put all of his money on The Vision. And then Bron Breakker said he was going to rip Seth's head off in their cage match. So they showed, at this point, they cut back to the crowd, and they showed someone, some boxer from Zuffa. They're trying to make Zuffa boxing a thing, you know, because they own it. So they showed a Zuffa boxer in the crowd. Nobody gave a shit. Actually, there was another boxer, a retired boxer that they showed that got a pop. This guy, Derek Chisora. They showed Michael Page from UFC. He's a welterweight. They showed him in the crowd. But then they showed Jason Statham in the crowd. A real star, an actual celebrity, was in attendance tonight on this show. He was there. It looked like he was there with his kids. He was having a good time. He's got a new movie coming out, by the way, called Mutiny. I saw the trailer for it when I went to the movies a few weeks ago. It looks like a version of like Die Hard 2, except it's on a ship instead of a plane, and he just kills a whole bunch of people, which is all I really want out of a Jason Statham movie. Jackie Redmond was in the ring to bring out Io Sky, one half of the Queen of the Ring final this Saturday. Io got in the ring. She said she's extremely grateful to have gotten to the finals. She said she was going to beat Liv Morgan to become Queen of the Ring. This is a very basic promo here. Until Liv Morgan came out, and Liv was looking okay. There was an injury scare. They had a live event in Birmingham last night. I think it was a triple threat match. And a lot of people online, on social media, gave Sol Ruka a lot of shit because it was a springboard, and the way she landed on like Liv's foot, and it looked like Liv may have suffered an injury. And the match ended shortly thereafter. And I guess it was bad enough that Sol Ruka has gone dark on her ex. I think her tweets now are protected and you can't see anything. I only saw some of it and it was bad enough. Again, I can only imagine the kind of shit that she was getting. from this one clip, You know, people talk about, oh, we need more house shows. WWE needs more house shows. The talent needs to get more reps, which, by the way, is 100% true. There should be more house shows. They should have the ability to go out there and wrestle and get, and especially the people they call up from NXT, to work with the more experienced veterans and just get better and hone their craft. Absolutely, I agree with that. But can you imagine? They start doing house shows more. We're going to see more clips. And the slightest little botch or something goes wrong and the kind of shit that these people are going to have to take on social media is unbelievable. So anyway, for the time being, Sol Ruka is off of X. And honestly, probably not a bad idea. So Liv talked about winning Queen of the Ring as she was walking down to the ring. She got into the ring. She said that then she would go on to SummerSlam and she would beat Io's friend Rhea Ripley to win the other championship. Io asked if Liv was sure the crown would fit on her big head. I like that. I like that line. I chuckled. Then she yelled at her in Japanese. Morgan punched her in the face. Liv ended up being put down, though, with a springboard dropkick. And that was it. As basic as it gets. Same thing with Oba and Jay at the beginning of the show. There really wasn't a whole lot to this. At least we didn't have to sit through two contract signings. It's the best I could say about it. Actually, the best thing I could say about it is that it's good to see Liv healthy. Because it did look bad. That video clip looked bad. And boy, I mean, can you imagine? She's in the finals of the Queen of the Ring this weekend. Like, even if it was like a sprained ankle or something, right? You take a couple of weeks off, depending on how bad the sprain is. She doesn't have a couple of weeks. You know, she's got, what is it, fucking 5 days. She's got to fly to Saudi and be in the finals of this tournament, let alone whatever she's going to do at SummerSlam. It would have been a disaster if she was injured. So thankfully she's not, and she looks to be okay. Now we go backstage, and Jimmy and Jay were back there. Jay was asking Jimmy, do you need help tonight against LA Knight? And Jimmy says he has Knight handled. Jay needs to just focus on Oba Femi. Jacob Fatu showed up, and he let them know, I don't answer to you, because they wanted some answers out of him about Solo Sikoa. Jay was on edge about Solo. You know, he could very well show up tonight, which, in fact, he did. Jacob said he sent the message to Solo on SmackDown, now we wait. Said if Solo crosses the line, he won't like what he finds. Elsewhere, Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh, they entered Danhausen's lair, his science lab. Want to know where their money is? Apparently, they gave him $100,000 last week to take care of Oba Femi, and they did not do that. And Danhausen said he spent it all on his latest science experiment. He spent $100,000 in a week. He burned through $100,000 in 7 days. He is the Floyd Mayweather of WWE. So they threatened to steal his experiment. Danhausen then puts a curse on JD McDonagh. Dom says that McDonagh is uncursable. And McDonagh says, yeah. And he turns around, and whatever the science experiment was, it was sitting in like a plastic bin. And he touches it, and he gets electrocuted. And he falls to the ground. Comedy. Comedy, this is. I like Danhausen, but these segments aren't doing it for me. We had LA Knight against Jimmy Uso, and this is where the crowd really died, I would say, for the first time here on this show. This match went about 12 minutes. It felt twice as long. This was a very dull match. Jimmy suplexed Knight on the apron at one point. Back inside, he went for a running hip attack. Knight moved out of the way. And Knight made a comeback. He ran, though, into a Samoan drop. Jimmy was on the ropes. Knight was setting up for that leap to the top for the superplex, but he stopped. He was on the middle rope, and he's staring at something in the crowd, and the something that he is staring at is one Solo Sikoa. I love how Solo Sikoa has color coordinated for the show. He came out here. He was wearing a red blazer. He had the red dress pants on. That distraction allowed Jimmy to shove Knight off the ropes, and Knight acted like he tweaked his knee on the way down, so the referee went to go tend to him. Solo quickly scurries up the steps. He's on the apron. Jimmy is still, you know, sitting on the top rope. And Solo just looks at him, and Jimmy sees him, and Solo smiles at him, and then he spikes him right in the throat. And Knight saw what happened, and he looks surprised. He was taken off guard. He was taken aback by what he just witnessed. But he took advantage of it. He dropped Jimmy with a BFT, and it was very alarming because that's his finishing move. Knight, yeah, Knight came out. He got a great reaction. He's very popular, but he hit his finishing move here. Nobody reacted. It was silent. He hit the BFT to silence. The Stone Cold Stunner, it is not. And he covers him, and he gets the pin, and wouldn't you know, LA Knight won a fucking match. Now, of course, when LA Knight wins a match, which is rare, he doesn't really win. Solo Sikoa won the match for him. But you know what? If you're LA Knight at this point, you just take the dub. You don't get too many of them, especially over members of the Bloodline. Take the dub and just be happy with it. But it's just funny to me that even when he wins, it's somebody else who really gets to take the credit for it. As far as Solo Sikoa doing what he did, you know, when SmackDown was over last Friday, my thought was it started to feel to me like Solo may end up linking back up with the Bloodline. He still could. But what they did on this show, obviously, was the opposite of that. There was no hint of that whatsoever here. So if he is in the end going to end up just kind of realigning with Roman and his crew, and the MFTs are going to go the way of the Dodo, it's going to be a while before we get there. But again, I can't bring myself to get excited about this stuff. You know, I mean, I'll compliment Solo on his, his wardrobe. Guy knows how to dress up nicely. I wish I could sit here and tell you that this story excites me, but it doesn't. It really doesn't. I feel like I've been watching the same story play out for about 3.5 years now. Then you got LA Knight out there hitting his finish to fucking crickets because nobody gives a shit. After a break, Jackie was in the back. She caught up with Bailey with an ice pack on her neck in the trainer's room. She said, did you see this coming? And Bailey said that I have nothing to say. And she walked off. Elsewhere, Raquel Rodriguez was talking to Roxanne Perez, and she was venting. She's sick and tired of letting every opportunity just slip through her fingers. Roxanne said that it should have been you and Liv in the finals of the Queen of the Ring, but hey, at least we could be happy for Liv. So Dom and JD show up, then Liv Morgan walks in. She's very upset over what happened with Io earlier on. Raquel cuts her off, though, and says, hey, can you not see that none of us are doing so hot? She said, Dom and JD, they lost a lot of money. JD got electrocuted. Roxanne and her thought that it was going to be, you know, me and you. It was going to be Raquel and Liv in the finals of the Queen of the Ring. Liv said, look, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to win the Queen of the Ring. She said, Raquel, you're going to take the Intercontinental title off of Sol Ruka. She said, Dom and JD, you need to focus on getting the men's Intercontinental title from Penta. So Roxanne's hearing this, and Roxanne pipes up and she says, excuse me, but what about me? And before Liv could answer, McDonough said, I think I need to go to medical. And Liv said, yes, 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 we have to get him to medical quickly. And off they go. Earlier today, Corey Graves sat down. Why are WWE wrestlers so depressed now? Says, mind the gap. Why are they depressed? Oh, gee, I wonder. Well, let's see. Johnny Gargano on SmackDown. All I need to tell you is that he's on SmackDown. I mean, that's enough of a reason to be depressed. So Johnny Gargano is planking every week. Sami Zayn was depressed for an extended period of time on that show as well. On this show, I mean, JD McDonagh just got electrocuted. Multiple people, in fact, over the last few weeks on Raw and SmackDown have been electrocuted by Danhausen. I mean, what's not to get depressed over? Have you watched these television shows, by the way? They're pretty depressing. This week's episode is sponsored by Wix. It can be hard to break through all the noise these days if you're a small business owner, which is why you want to make sure you've got the right website that's going to grab people's attention. With Wix Harmony, you can do just that. Build and customize your website to look and feel exactly the way that you want it to, And you could do so without being an expert in coding. You'll just have other people thinking you are. Wix Harmony is an AI website builder that allows you to get your website up fast, making sure that it stays true to your vision of what you want it to be. Its AI capability is the secret sauce here, but even with the AI component, you still have the ability to go hands-on with your site and customize it to your liking. The two go hand in hand. They complement one another. Aria, your personal AI agent, is there to help answer your questions and get important things done. You have the power to click anywhere on your site and ask her to make changes instead of wasting time entering prompt after prompt. Then you can move things around as you see fit, if you wish, to get the perfect website. It's just that simple. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Join the more than 280 million businesses around the world that already use Wix and try Wix Harmony right now to see for yourself at wix.com/harmony. That's wix.com/harmony. But earlier today, Corey Graves had the chance to sit down with Seth Rollins. And Seth said, things have not gone according to my plan. I don't know if I'd be sitting here without the Street Profits' help. Corey suggested that Rollins might not walk out of Saturday's show at all. You know, he's in that cage match with Bron Breakker. And Seth says, look, I know a lot can go wrong in this situation, but I'm an expert at getting out of problems. The last time that I won the World Heavyweight Championship, it wasn't in the most upstanding way. It didn't tell me, though, a lot about who I am. This cage match is going to tell the world who I am. And if I can beat Bron Breakker, I can put the vision behind me, then I can get to the second part of my mission, which is getting back the championship that I never lost. So he put his focus here squarely on winning the World Heavyweight Championship. And if the idea is to get him there, to a match with Roman, whether it's SummerSlam or whenever, he can't be losing to Bron Breakker. He really shouldn't be. That's why I think he's going to go over and win the cage match on Saturday, because Bron Breakker is not being primed for a World Heavyweight Championship match anytime soon. Seth Rollins, though, he feels a lot closer to that than Breakker is, and if that's the case, then he should be winning that match. And if that's not the case, then Bron Breakker should win. But I just don't see that happening. Chad Gable was in the back talking to Adam Pearce. He said that he's been speaking to Penta. That's what Gable said. I said, ooh, you have my attention. Penta, you say? The Intercontinental Champion. He was quickly interrupted by Liv Morgan, Dom, and JD McDonagh. And Dom said, Penta? You're not getting Penta before we do. And he wanted an apology from Chad because he's the king of the luchadors and you disrespected me worst of all. Gable said, you're the one that sent me down to Mexico in the first place. Said, that's what I get for listening to a dumbass. But if you want an apology, I could try to, you know, give you the chance you could beat one out of me. So Dom suggested JD instead. And Adam Pearce looked over at McDonagh, who's standing there twitching in the background. He looks at McDonagh and he questions, like, are you okay with that? If I make this match, assuming you get cleared by medical, like, are you okay with that? And McDonagh, so stupid. McDonagh asks, come again? Doctor? He puts his hand out to shake the doctor's hand. He's putting his hand out to Adam Pearce, thinking that he's a doctor. And Pearce orders him to medical right away here. Again, McDonagh was twitching in the background throughout all of this. I don't think he's doing well. I'm concerned for him. I'll tell you what, though. If medical clears him to wrestle next week after what we saw from him tonight, they should get their licenses revoked. They'll be in the same camp as the AEW medical team. We got to the main event. We're already up to the main event here. Street Profits challenging the Vision. Bron Breakker, Austin Theory for the World Tag Team Championships. Logan Paul was out there in the Vision's corner. Logan Paul got ejected early in the match when he placed Theory's foot on the bottom rope for a rope break after a pin attempt. The referee saw this, so he ejected him. The Street Profits, they try for a blockbuster. Breakker, though, crotched Montez Ford. They sent the Vision to the floor. Breakker came off the apron with his flying clothesline that sent Dawkins into the desk. It sent Breakker over the desk. Then he leaped up on top of the desk and he posed as they went to the second commercial break here of this match. At this point, after the break, we got random chants of CM Punk from the crowd in London. In case you were wondering how into this match these fans were, they were so disinterested that they decided to launch into chants of CM Punk. They were begging for something, anything. Please. Roman Reigns is not here. Can we at least get CM Punk on this show? The answer is no. Neither of them were there. And the fans, I should say, the fans were awfully quiet for, I would say, a good chunk of this match. And again, these UK crowds, especially these main events, they're usually loud. They're energetic. You know, they're singing. They're having fun. And not really the case here for most of this match. Look, when you're bored, you're bored. When you're bored, you're bored. Yeah, I had to listen to, what was it? I didn't listen to the podcast they did, but the clip was floating around on social media after last week's Dynamite of Meltzer and Alvarez from their radio show. And I think it was Meltzer who was like, oh, you know, the crowd. It was a bad crowd. Must have been a bad crowd because they weren't really reacting to stuff last week. Oh, it must be the crowd's fault. Bad crowd, right? And I laugh when I hear that because at the end of the day, right? Can there be bad crowds? Sure. But I think by and large, if you have a crowd, and AEW is a great example of this. You have the sicko crowd, right? They go nuts for great wrestling. It almost doesn't even matter where they are. But every now and then you'll get a crowd that's quiet. They're not making a lot of noise. And it makes me laugh when people's first instinct in that situation is to blame the fans. Well, the crowd just, I don't know what these people were, you know, so depressed about here, why they were so quiet. We got a great show. The crowd sucked, right? But maybe the crowd just wasn't interested in what the fuck they were watching. And that's the case with most of these WWE crowds. When we talk about, man, the crowd was fucking quiet. I could hear the fucking air conditioner vents. And the question you should be asking is why? What didn't work here that the crowd was so quiet for this? Instead of blaming the crowd and saying, well, this crowd sucked. Maybe the show sucks. Maybe stop blaming the fans and take a look at what you're seeing on TV and try to figure out why the fans are not into what they're seeing. That's just a suggestion. I just put that out there. Both teams made tags. Montez hit a super kick and a standing moonsault for a near fall. Theory hit a rolling clothesline on Ford. Breaker came in with a German suplex to Montez for a near fall. Breaker was measuring Ford for a spear, but he ate a kick instead, and Breaker came back with a power slam, and the Vision got a top rope bulldog out of an electric chair, right out of the Steiner's playbook. But in this case, it was only good for a near fall. So Breaker tossed the top half of the ring steps into the ring. Angelo Dawkins sent Breaker into the ring post. And now here comes Logan Paul, who was already ejected. But Logan Paul, he's slithering his way back out through the crowd, and he's got the brass knuckles. And he hands Theory the brass knuckles when all of a sudden we hear Joe Hendry's theme music. We have not seen Joe Hendry since Austin Theory took him out. I don't know how long ago. It felt like 2 months ago. It was at least 6 weeks ago. He has been persona non grata. I mean, he has just been gone, has Joe Hendry. This was his big return here, and they saved it for London, and it was very weird. Now, I get that this is the Joe Hendry thing. He just appears. So he was on the apron. They zoom in, right? But he's like coming out to cut off Logan Paul, who's over on the side where the announcers are. But first, he's got to do the pose on the apron. So they cut to him on the apron. Logan Paul has to pretend he doesn't even see him yet. Then he jumps down from the apron. He comes around and he chases Logan through the fans into the crowd. That was the last we saw of either of these guys for the rest of the show. But he left the brass knucks, Logan did, behind in the ring, and Theory spots them. And he starts to crawl towards them. Now we hear, burn it down! And here comes Seth Rollins, right? So Bron Breakker hears this, and Bron Breakker goes over by the aisleway. He's going to cut him off as soon as he comes out. He's waiting for Seth to come out. Seth, though, doesn't come out down the aisle. He came out through the crowd on the opposite side of the ring. He reaches in. He grabs the knucks away from Theory, and he wallops him right in the head with the brass knucks, and the referee didn't see this. Now Breakker turns around. He sees Rollins on the other side of the ring. Rollins basically waves to him. Rollins retreats back into the crowd. Bron Breakker, he runs after him, and in one leap, he just jumps over the barricade. Honestly, the most impressive thing I saw on the entire show tonight was that Bron Breakker jump over the barricade into the crowd. That was the most impressive thing I saw all show. And so at that point, Austin Theory is on Dream Street because he just got walloped with the brass knucks, and that paved the way for Angelo Dawkins to drop him with a sky high. And then Montez Ford came off from the heavens with the big frog splash, and he got the pinfall to win the tag team titles. The Vision, no longer the World Tag Team Champions. The crowd did light up there at the end. At the very end, we had a couple of cameos, and then we got the title change. So, of course, they popped for the title change. But again, I just can't help but think, like, the time to do this title change would have been Saturday night's main event last month. Because as I recall, like, first of all, that was also the main event of that show. That was the match where Logan got hurt. But the crowd was pretty hot, as I recall, for that match. Like, they were into it. They were ready to see those titles change hands. And I guess it wouldn't have worked out as well, you know, in terms of the Seth story, right? Because he was still kind of on the rocks with the Street Profits. They were not on the same page. So story-wise, maybe it would have worked better there. But I just think in terms of doing the title change, that was the time to do it. And you would have had a hotter crowd for it. It would have felt like a bigger deal. And also, that's, you know, Saturday night's main event. It's a step up above Raw. So it was a special show. I just think in retrospect and looking at how into the crowd or into it the crowd was on that show as compared to this one, that would have been a better time to do the title change. But look, I am happy to see the belts off of the Vision, mainly because Bron Breakker, who never even won them, right? He was a substitute. He doesn't need these titles. What does he need the tag team title for? Now we got the belts back on a real team. An actual tag team. That's the good news. The bad news is they don't have anybody to work with. There's no other real team on this show except the Usos. And one of them may well be challenging for the world championship, one of them, at SummerSlam. The other teams on this show, what are you left with? What are you left with? The War Raiders? They're in AAA now. The Americanos? They're also mostly in AAA now. Same thing with Julio and Bruto. And then you got Alpha Academy. Oh, what a fucking tag team division you got on this show. There's no division. So, I mean, it's great that they won the belts, but now reality sets in. It's like, well, what's next? A rematch with the Vision, I guess. I don't know, because they don't have a division. That's the big problem. But anyway, Night of Champions is coming up on Saturday. I had a whole rundown of the card, six matches. We have the finals of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring. We have a triple threat for the WWE Championship. We have a women's U.S. title match, and we have a men's U.S. title match. So I have the full predictions on Sound Off 968. Again, the podcast went up yesterday. And tomorrow on the Uncrowned Wrestling Show, we'll talk more about Night of Champions, but I'll also have predictions for Forbidden Door, which I did not do yesterday. So that will be on Uncrowned tomorrow. And as far as the Raw show itself, that's what I got for it. So now, unify the tag team titles, says Bliss Fan. Now, you would think that that would be the sensible thing to do. I've been advocating for that ever since they de-unified them. Honestly. It's been a couple of years now. But honestly, like, it wouldn't even make that much of a difference. It absolutely is something they should do. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. But I also don't think that it's sort of a fix. It's a fix to a problem, but the problem is much larger than just unifying the belts. Even if you unify them, you still don't have much of a tag team division. Tag team wrestling in WWE right now is dead. It's dead. It was alive and well on SmackDown for a period of time over a year ago, year and a half ago. But that was a long time ago at this point. And now we're in this dead period, this dead zone when it comes to tag team wrestling. We don't have real teams, right? You got some makeshift teams. We don't have real teams. And I think if they were serious enough and wanted to put the effort in to rebuild the tag team division, it's something that's just going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. You've got to, it's not enough to just call up a couple of teams like Hank and Tank or something from NXT. Like, you're going to have to really recruit teams and bring them in. And they clearly have no interest in doing that. You know, they've actually let go of multiple teams. The New Day is gone. The Motor City Machine Guns are gone, right? I mean, so you would think if they were serious about really beefing up their tag team division, that those are teams they would have held on to, and they didn't. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, people who just kind of throw that out there, oh, just unify the belts, you just got to understand that even if they do, you still have major problems that are just not going to be fixable overnight in this company. I mean, I like tag team wrestling as much as the next person, but WWE does not. All right, the goal was 700 likes, which was a very ambitious goal. We are currently at 381, so that is not going to happen. However, I am going to read your super chats here. So if you have any you want to send in, get them on in, because when we're done, we're done. Crypto and Poker is with us. Just watched Obsession at 12 midnight and still half full. I'm telling you, man, people are still flocking to the theaters to see that movie. It's a great movie. It's the best movie I've seen all year. Dry Chicken says, I'm currently watching the World Cup. I wanted to stop by and say that Oba Femi needs to win King of the Ring. Triple H cannot fumble Oba. Oh, he can he? Says, every time I check out clips of WWE Unreal, I hilariously laugh at how the production team zooms the camera closer towards everyone's faces during interviews. Gotta get those reactions. Says also, I watch Masters of the Universe. The movie was good and fun to watch. Also, I hope Indy Navaretti gets an Oscar nomination. Will it into existence? Yeah, I kind of feel like the Academy is not usually very kind to horror movies. But it would be a shame if she doesn't at least get a nomination. I mean, she was phenomenal. But Dry Chicken, thank you very much. I know he's going to go back to his World Cup. I'm sorry, I've interrupted your World Cup watching. I'm streaming at a very odd time this week. Let's see here. We got WWE Wrestling and Gaming. In your own booking of Bret Hart's run in WCW, how do you book him after Starrcade 99? Well, I'm not going to book him in 5 seconds here. I mean, you're putting me on the spot. How am I going to book him? I'm going to book him strong. I'm going to keep him in the world title picture. That's what I'm going to do, even if he's not the champion. But if you want to know how I would have booked that first year in WCW, there is a video up on the YouTube channel where I went through the entire thing. But I would definitely keep him in that upper mix. For the money they were paying him, you keep him in the upper mix. You don't have him. You don't reduce him down to the mid card. GMB, $4.99. Thank you, brother. Still believe Lyra offered way more on the table as a face. If you don't dress or look like a goth or look like a pretty blonde, being over becomes harder. Are you saying that the reason LA Knight is still so over is that he's a pretty blonde? Alexander with a 10th spot. What are your thoughts on the South Bushwick Church burning down? As a fellow New Yorker, I am not a religious person in any way, but it's sad that we lost a 176-year-old landmark. It's always sad. It's a very sad story. But I hope you're doing well, brother. WWE Wrestling and Gaming. Top five most famous wrestlers of all time. Wrestlers that are the most well-known. I mean, you think of people, obviously Hogan and Rock are on that list, but, you know, Hogan, Rock, Cena. Those are probably the main ones, I would say. Hogan, Rock, and Cena. After that, it gets a little fuzzier. If you're just talking about popularity like in this country, obviously if you want to expand it out to other countries, you're getting into El Santo and, you know,
cultural icons, whether it's Mexico or Japan. If you're talking like U.S., like mainstream U.S. wrestling, you're talking about Hogan, Rock, and Cena. You know, Austin, I don't think Stone Cold, if we're just talking popularity outside of the wrestling bubble, I don't think you have him on the list. You know, people may have heard the name, but he doesn't have that same level of popularity outside of wrestling that like Hogan and Rock or even Cena have. Batista would probably be on there. Batista has done very well for himself in Hollywood. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of people who didn't know him before, they know him now. Those movies were huge. Flair, maybe. Yeah, probably. You know what? Probably Flair. Flair, actually, more in the last like 10 years probably, has become more mainstream than he was during his wrestling career. Because a lot of people, like rappers, have paid homage to him in their songs. You got Ric Flair drip and all this stuff. So I would say more people know about Ric Flair now, even if they're not wrestling fans, than they would have 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. Donovan says, I was a huge LA Knight supporter. Then he crapped hard all over my name. Send him to main event. Man, he really alienated a good part of his fan base with that. I'm sorry, Donovan. I think you have a very cool name. I like that name. Who said Randy Orton? Bret Hart? You're talking to the biggest Bret Hart fan in the world here. You cannot put Bret Hart on a list of like the most famous pro wrestlers, like mainstream names of all. What are you kidding me? Bret Hart. Randy Orton. People don't know who they are. Walk up to a random person on the street and mention Shawn Michaels, and they're going to look at you like you have a fucking Cyclops eye. But if you say Macho Man Randy Savage, they might know who you're talking about. You know, there's a reason why if you, when Halloween rolls around, in terms of the wrestlers who are probably the most, I would say, dressed up as, like Hogan and Savage are, they got to be still right at the top of the list. And their era was like 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And they're both dead. But you will see countless people dressed up as Hogan. You'll see countless people dressed up as Macho Man, because they were very colorful characters too. So that helps. You're not going to find people dressed up as Randy Orton or Bret Hart for Halloween. I'm sorry, you're not. You're just not. One person maybe. You know, and even if you're of the mindset that like these are the more recent names, right? I'll give you Roman Reigns. You could put Roman Reigns on that list. Roman Reigns, I think, would be known by a lot of people outside the wrestling sphere. But if you honestly believe, like, oh, well, you know, come on now. The current era, you know, people like, you know, Randy Orton or an LA Knight or somebody would be more well-known. No. No. Because all the names that we just talked about, Rock, Hogan, right, people like that, were when wrestling was, like, super popular. Wrestling is not super popular in the way that it used to be. This is the misconception that people have. WWE may be making more money now than they've ever made before, but that does not equal popularity, per se. They may be more mainstream now in terms of being on ESPN and stuff like that, but that does not equate to the product being as popular as it once was. I guarantee you most people have never heard of Randy Orton. Like you, if you disagree, you are living in a bubble. Like you are living, I will call you Bubble Boy from now on. I'm sorry, Bubble Boy. But you're wrong on this. Sidro is with us with a 5. I need to finish my paper on United Arab Emirates. It's due by next Monday. That's the wrong sound effect, but it still works. And just finished a book called Fear of Sunlight. Was written by Gladys Gladys Knight. There we go. That's the right one, though. Those were both good. I like those. Prince Vegeta. WWE is fucking up its King of the Ring tournaments like Sid fucked up his toys in Toy Story. A terrible villain Sid is in that first Toy Story. Lakers, Pats, J WWE title run, or say Brett is overrated for life. I could say Brett is overrated for life and not mean it. I can lie to you. I'd rather lie to you than have a Jey Uso world title run. That's fine with me. Sidro with another five. Girl says, what can go wrong? What can go wrong will go wrong. Man says, that's Murphy's Law. But you heard of Cole's Law. Girl, no. Man, it's finely sliced raw cabbage with salad dressing. I just had some coleslaw the other night. Darius says, Roman somewhere is confused by Gable's apology. Yeah, he's like, an apology? What's that? The word sorry, it's not in his vocabulary. He doesn't know what that means. Paul Carpenter. We are now the Vision Academy. Man, he's... Please, on this Vision Alpha Academy stuff. I smoke a lot of weed is with us. Appreciate you, Solo. Dropping some love. I appreciate you too, weed. Have yourself a good I smoke a latte and some weed. It's a lot of emojis. Thank you, brother. Alexander says, I like how WWE has not acknowledged that Danhausen is technically a free agent. Pierce or Aldis has not fought to sign him on their show. Why would they? He doesn't wrestle. He doesn't do anything. He annoys the both of them. Why would they want them on their show? They're probably trying to pawn him off on the other. Why would they want him? They don't get a cut of the merch that he sells. That goes right to the company. That goes right into TKO's pockets. Doesn't increase their paycheck. Barry MK with a $15 super chat. Why do you think ratings were down in the Ruthless Aggression era? Even with all the problems, the shows were a lot of fun. Bad and good, something crazy could happen every week on those shows. So here's the thing you gotta realize. When the ratings went up in the late 90s, right? That was the peak of the Attitude Era. And Stone Cold against Vince McMahon and The Rock and DX, and just it was this perfect storm. They brought in a lot of fans from the outside who probably never watched wrestling before. Maybe they were lapsed. Maybe they watched it as a kid. They got out of it. Now it's cool again, so they start watching it again. And so you're getting cable ratings at the peak, like in 99. Nielsen ratings in the fives and the sixes and the sevens. They did an 8.1 for their highest rated episode. Like, we're talking 8, 9, 10 million viewers a week tuned in live to watch this show. And that's with competition from Nitro. Like, these numbers were not, they were not real. They didn't make any sense. They were so high. And so eventually the bubble bursts and the numbers come back down to reality. The Attitude Era died when Stone Cold turned heel. There's a noticeable business drop in ratings that you could probably trace back to that one event, okay? But every era has its peak, and then it dies, and a new era begins. So, yeah, there was a lot of great wrestling in the Ruthless Aggression era, but of course the ratings were always going to go down because the peak of Austin in the Attitude Era was over. And so I guarantee you there were a lot of fans who, once that happened, they were like, peace out. We're not here for the wrestling. We don't give a shit about that. You don't care that Brock Lesnar and Chris Benoit can do German suplexes. You know, they wanted the Attitude Era. They wanted Austin driving in on a Zamboni. They wanted, you know, Sable showing her tits and all this stuff. That's what they wanted. That's what they tuned in for. That's what Russo gave them. Crash TV. The ratings were always going to have to normalize and settle in. This is what people don't realize. They were always going to come down. It doesn't mean it was a bad show. The Ruthless Aggression, like that era of SmackDown in 02 and 03 is peak television. It's great stuff. But that's not going to necessarily appeal to a wider audience of like casual fans. Some of them it will. But there were a lot of people, you know, once Austin turned heel, it was like, all right, peace out. We're done. It's over. San Juan Wolf with a 1999. I like seeing that. What's good, Solo? How's life? Look at that. He's just checking in on me. Life is good. It's very busy. I'm very tired. But we keep doing what we do. Like Triple H says, that's what we do. But things are good. I hope things are good with you as well. Chicago for MBK. I had fun at my first HOG show this past Friday. Electric matches and crowd. And I went back to listen to you and JD on commentary as well. Thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. I said this at the end. I really think that was our best Chicago show. We've done a lot of them now. When it was over, I just kind of looked at him and he looked at me. I'm like, that was a fun show. Like everything hit. It was great. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. You picked a good one to go to. Hopefully you'll be at the next one. I'm thinking it's not locked in yet, but the hope is that we'll be able to make our way back to Chicago maybe in October is probably what we're looking at. We got a few more here. We got the real CSO2. I seriously hope we don't get King Yeet this Saturday. I hope not too. Also, he says, if the plan isn't for Oba to win King of the Ring, what are we doing? If they have the Yeet Man beat him, I'm considering stopping watching WWE. That will be the final straw for me. Well, you say that now, but you'll be back. They all come back. But I feel you, man. It doesn't appeal to me in the slightest. There is no option where Jey Uso wins King of the Ring, whether he picks Cody, Roman, both of them. None of that appeals to me. Ode to the J84 with a 10 spot. Could we make an argument that Macho Man is the real Mr. WrestleMania? He got the best matches out of Steamboat, Hogan, Warrior, and Flair on the grandest stage of them all. Much love, Solomonster. I would not argue with you if you wanted to say Macho Man was your Mr. WrestleMania. He didn't have as many WrestleManias as some other people did. Taker, Shawn, you know, his body of work on that show was limited compared to them. They had a lot more longevity than he did because he left and went to WCW. But his WrestleMania resume, like I'd put his WrestleMania resume up against most other people. Just the Steamboat match alone is so legendary. And I didn't think any of the matches in the tournament at WrestleMania 4 were particularly great. For him, it would be the performance where he had to wrestle four times in one night and then he wins the championship. So that was like a big WrestleMania moment for him. Five against Hogan, they had a very good match. Six was like a mixed tag. It was kind of like a throwaway. Seven was just a fantastic match with the Warrior. Best match those two ever had. And then eight, I love the match that he had with Flair. It was, if it wasn't Flair's best WWF match, it had to be number two. And then Savage, he was doing commentary at nine. He had the False Count Anywhere match with Crush at 10, which I liked. I liked that match. So I won't argue with you. I won't argue with you. The thing about the Crush match was, like, as a wrestling match, it wasn't really great. But I'm a sucker for, like, when they venture into other parts of the building. And at that time, that really wasn't something you saw in WWF. Like, even that little bit of the backstage stuff that we had at the end of the match, I was like, oh, this is cool. And he hangs him upside down by his foot. He tries to, anyway. He's trying to tie his feet together, but then the rope came undone. The rules, by the way, were very weird. The way they did that False Count Anywhere match, like, you had to pin the person outside the ring if you were to pin them, but then, like, they have 60 seconds to get back to the ring. Like, it worked very differently than, like, modern day False Count Anywhere matches work. MGM Ballin, I know wrestling is boring, but Solo is not. Let's get Be the Booker. Yeah, let's get Be the Booker, guys. Solo's more exciting than most of these shows, unfortunately. It shouldn't be that way. We are 7 out of 10 on the bonus goal, though. I just noticed. Where are we on the likes? 442. Again, the wheel said, as you could see here, 700. That seems very unlikely, but I don't know. We're creeping up there on the bonus goal. WWE Wrestling and Gaming. What is your opinion on Vince Russo? I think he was able to parlay a lot of success he had in the 90s into a much longer... He's very similar to Bischoff in that way, where they were able to parlay a relatively brief period of time, 30 years ago, into a lifetime of work. Good for them. Can't fault them for doing that. And the Real CS says, I'll stick to your reviews. Probably a good way to go. I'm always here. You know that. Scotty said, I saw somewhere on Facebook that Miss Elizabeth worked for ESPN in 1994. She did, in fact. Actually, the full video is on YouTube. And I wish I could remember the name of the show. It was a boating show. And she was one of the hosts. Like, they opened the show. There were two male hosts. She was the female host. She was, like, to the left of them. But she was also, like, a correspondent during that hour. And so it was weird seeing her in that role. But, I want to say it was 94. I think if you just go on YouTube and type in probably Miss Elizabeth ESPN, it'll probably come up. Low King, 7235. Solo, call my wife and kids, he says.
Oh, you got me, brother.
Get Linda on the phone. Get Linda and the kids on the phone. This is it for me, brother. You know, if nothing else, Hogan left us with lots of tall tales and fables and stories that will be worth the entertainment for years to come. That is only one of the many, many stories. All right, so here's the schedule as it currently looks for the remainder of the week. Tomorrow, you got a brand new episode of the Uncrowned Wrestling Show, and I will include Forbidden Door predictions in that. Tomorrow night will be a brand new episode of Tuesday Night Titans over on JD's channel. We have much to discuss, as we do every week. Wednesday, Dynamite post show. Friday is the final 3-hour SmackDown. So we'll be in the normal slot after 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, whatever. But thank God it is the final 3-hour SmackDown. So we'll have the post show then. Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern is Night of Champions. When Night of Champions is over, I will be live as I came live tonight after Raw. I will be live on YouTube after Night of Champions. And that will lead nicely into the next episode of the podcast next Sunday. So, got a lot of content coming your way. I hope you guys enjoy it. I do it for you. Also, if you missed episode 968, please go back and check that out. The podcast from yesterday is doing well. Eric says SmackDown is at 2 on Netflix internationally tomorrow. Are you sure about that? I don't think it is. I heard that it wasn't going to be airing live tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it is. I'm not reviewing it tomorrow. So I already have 2 shows to do tomorrow. I ain't going live. I will not be going live for SmackDown if it is airing live tomorrow. Let me see here. Is SmackDown airing live tomorrow? Let's see. I don't know. I'm of the impression it's not. I don't know where you're getting that from, but maybe you're right. I don't know. I don't believe that's true. So we'll have the usual post show on Friday. If by chance, though, I have the chance to watch SmackDown earlier than Friday, then maybe we'll go live at like 8 on Friday. But we're saving the review for Friday. That is not changing. Solo should break out his New Year's Eve outfit for the last 3 hours. Oh, I have some plans. I have some plans for SmackDown to commemorate on Friday. You'll join me then and find out what they are. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with me. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great rest of your evening. Yes, they are taping SmackDown tomorrow. It's being taped tomorrow because they're on their way to Riyadh. So they're in London. They're taping it tomorrow, but it airs as normal on Friday. Be well, stay safe. I will be back with you for more content here on the channel very soon, Wednesday night, in fact. And until then, take care, guys.
Four Finger Discount is the number one podcast for true Simpsons fans. With more than 20 seasons worth of episode reviews, as well as exclusive interviews with the cast and crew, this show truly is the next best thing to living in Springfield. So go ahead and check out Four Finger Discount today, available wherever you find your podcasts.
Podcasts.
Johnny Mac, host of Daily Comedy News. Now, Daily Comedy News is an easy way to start your morning. Just ease into the morning, and in about 10, 12, 15 minutes, I will catch you up on what's happening across the comedy world, from stand-up to late night to streaming. And trust me, there's almost always some kind of controversy. I cover the names you know, big guys, Dave Chappelle, John Mulaney, Jim Gaffigan, Shane Gillis, and more. And I'll also plug you in on who's going to be your next favorite. It's called Daily Comedy News.